Good morning, everybody. Can everybody hear me? Yes? Okay, great. Welcome to this beautiful day. It's going to be warm today, 80 degrees. Would you believe it? Summer has come back. So I say this every time that I'm the one who's leading, that I love our Jewish Sangha here, and all of us supporting each other in this journey, in this mindfulness journey, which and we co-create this wonderful sacred spirituality space that nourishes us every week. So it's really a blessing. So would you believe it? We're like 4 days away from Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's really upon us. This Monday marks the last day of Elul, and Monday evening being the first day of Tishrei and Erev Rosh Hashanah. And some of us, or most of us, have spent the month of Elul in a state of tshuva, return. To return with an open and loving heart, a return to who we are, what we are, where we are, the words from Hashkivenu. A return to our essence, to our core being, without the veils with which we usually walk around. We've begun the journey of focusing on repentance and forgiveness, which intensifies between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This period is an opportunity for intense introspection, for inspiration to return to our truest self, our essence, our core beings, the divine spark in each of us, an opportunity to listen to that small voice within more intensely, to take stock of our minds, emotions, bodies, and souls, our neshamas, to contemplate when and how we may have missed the mark, and to forgive ourselves and others with compassion. To pause, to reflect, to ask ourselves how we can prepare for the new year and how we can open our hearts to receive God's chesed. Questions of where we are in our lives, what is truly important, what are we interested in, what spiritual food nourishes our souls, and do our actions actually correlate to our values? This is our Heshbon HaNefesh, our accounting of our lives. This is a wonderful, there is a wonderful inspirational quote about Tshuva by Rabbi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Kolonimos Kalman Shapiro. He was a great Hasidic Rebbe who died in the Holocaust, and he wrote, "As a creative act, tshuva is not simply a return. We return to growth and possibility that has lain dormant within us and not yet flourished, much as a sculpture lies hidden within the brute block of stone." He talks about the possibility that we have within us that we haven't yet realized. When in the morning we say, "Elohai neshama shenatata bi tahorahi," we remember a foundational affirmation in Judaism. Our soul, our essence, is purity, tahorah. At our core, we are good and pure. This gives us reason to hope. However far we may have damaged our lives or the lives of others, as long as we are alive and we have the potential to reconnect with our essential goodness and begin the work of repair, renewal and return to a healthier way of being in the world is always possible. Rabbi Alan Liu of Blessed Memory states, "I think one of the things we learn in the course of the long journey home is to keep our eye on the ball, on the starting points, on the things in life that are essential, that sustain us. One of the ways our lives heal us is to teach us this." And he goes on to say, "The book of life and the book of death are open every day. Our name is written in one or the other of them at every moment, and then erased and written again the moment after that. We are constantly becoming, continuously redefining ourselves. This doesn't just happen on Rosh Hashanah. And our beloved meditation teacher, Norman Fisher, says, when we sit, we recognize the crucial divine importance of absolutely everything that arises, every thought, every feeling, every breath, every unspeakable, unnameable impulse. But also, we recognize the importance of the others, the sky, the sounds inside and outside of the room. As the mind becomes a little bit more quiet, the sacredness of everything within and without becomes clear to us. Some of us listen to the shofar every day of Elul, and all of us, if we're in shul, will hear 100 blasts of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Alan Liu says, it is the same sound that filled the world when the Torah was spoken into being on Mount Sinai. When the shofar sounds 100 times, it blows open the gates of heaven. When the shofar sounds 100 times, it forms a bridge between heaven and earth, and we enter heaven on that bridge. And he goes on to say, when the shofar sounds 100 times, it cracks the shell of our awareness wide open, and suddenly we find ourselves in heaven. When the shofar sounds 100 times, we hear the voice of heaven in it. We experience revelation. God's voice comes down to earth on the same bridge we use to go up to heaven. So the shofar is a plea and a visual reminder to allow ourselves to genuinely embrace this journey of renewal in which we are always in the process of, in which we are not certain, in which we are in the unknown, in which we are willing to tumble, twist, turn in our desire to become more whole, more true to ourselves, to be our best selves, to touch the divine within us. The sound of the shofar, the ancient alarm, rouses us from indifference, moves us to action, and renews our conviction to keep going despite insurmountable challenges. As we listen to the shofar sounds, the same sounds that we heard on Mount Sinai, new possibilities of understanding and trust may arise. And I love this quote. I've used it before. Aviva Zornberg says, the sound of the shofar is a call for transcendence. It evokes an irrational world of non-linear time, of surmounting the unyielding accountability in order to reach an even higher truth, an affirmative one of chesed, loving kindness. Shema, listen, lev shomea, a listening heart, to listen beyond words, to open the heart, to open with love. Our meditation practice allows us to be still, to observe, to breathe in, breathe out, to listen inwardly, what is deep inside, to listen outwardly, what surrounds us, to come in contact with our divine core, to connect with our divine core, and to listen expansively to our surroundings and our environment. We listen beyond the words. We listen with our essence, our core being, in the stillness of our bodies, in the silence. So when is it hard to listen? What stops us from listening with our hearts? Is it the suffering that we may try to avoid? Norman Fisher says that at the bottom of every important conflict is a sense of love having been betrayed. Alan Liu's view of suffering is that our suffering, the unresolved element of our lives, is also from God. It is the instrument by which we are carried back to God, not something to be defended against, but rather to be embraced. And his view on meditation in regards to this is that meditation is always becoming, meditation always transformation. Meditation always moves us from one place to the other, from unconsciousness to awareness, from tension to relaxation, from being scattered to being centered, from a shallow relationship with our environment to ourselves and ourselves to a deeper one, from sleep to wakefulness, from a sense of God's absence to the sense that God was in this place all along and I did not know it. This week's Parsha, Nitzavim, in the first verse it says, "You stand this day, all of you, before God." And then it goes on to say, "I make this covenant with its sanctions, not with you alone, but both with those who are standing here with us today before our God and those who are not with us here this day." This means that the covenant with God is continuous, a collective commitment linking all the future generations. We are a community from way back when that will go on to way in the future. And the Parsha goes on to say, "When all these things befall you, the blessing, life good, and the curse, death, life and good, and the curse, death and evil, that I have set before you, you take them to heart amidst the various nations which Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your God, has banished you. And you return to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your God, and your children heed God's command with all your heart and soul, just as I entreat you this day. And then your God will restore your fortunes and take you back in love." And then the Parsha ends with saying, "Choose life." So going back to forgiveness and love, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies." So what do you need to forgive? When we forgive, do we feel that it comes from a place of strength, a place of vulnerability, a place of loving kindness? How does not forgiving and holding on to anger or a grudge harm us, close us off, create walls, affect tikkun olam in the larger world? The Gera Rebbe, a Hasidic rabbi, wrote, "In order to accomplish the tikkun, the repair of both the universe and the heart for which a person has come into the world, one must find the sparks of the divine in one's faults as well as in one's virtues. All of oneself is needed to accomplish the great tikkun." And in contemplating blessing and curse in the framework of our meditation and mindfulness practice, for me, blessing is breath, being still, being silent, being true to oneself, embracing loving kindness and equanimity, being kind to ourselves, being in the moment, being grateful. And the curse is desire for something else, anger, indifference, boredom, impatience with ourselves and with others. And I'm sure each of us can add many more qualities to both blessing and curse. Shefa Gold's commentary on Nitzavim states that we stand before God in our wholeness. This completeness infuses us with the fullness of vitality, presence and beauty that is necessary in order to receive and give the blessings of covenantal love. The challenge that God gives us is to choose life and blessing, to turn away from the force of destruction, she calls that death, and the curse, the negativity that limits us. Yet what sounds so very simple becomes so very confusing in the moment-to-moment choices that we face. The mind becomes an expert in rationalizing whatever choice might bolster the ego's ambitions or defenses. She says the spiritual challenge of Nisavim can only be taken up when we learn how to stand before God. In standing fully before God, we can finally embrace our whole selves completely. We can take responsibility for our choices. In standing before God, we become true partners in the work of creation. And she talks about the practice for Nisavim is to take special notice when your heart closes. Really notice, she says. Does your heart close when you feel judged? When you are in the presence of suffering, when you are stuck in traffic, when you disagree, when you get too busy, when you're in pain, when you read the newspaper, which we all have trouble with these days. So where are you choosing blessings over cursings in your life? And where are you choosing curses over blessings in your life? And is forgiving part of the choosing of blessings? So I think I'll end here. I was going to read Psalm 27, the interpretation by Sheila Peltz Weinberg, but I think I'd like to leave more room for discussion, unless people want to hear it. You want to hear it? Yes? Okay, so we'll go right on. So this is her Dharmic interpretive translation of Psalm 27. It's really quite beautiful. Awareness is sunlight in the mind. No one can take that from me. Awareness is my life's stronghold. It absorbs all fear. The hindrances and defilements are as close as my flesh and mind, but they dissolve in the light of being known. Even though I feel assaulted by hostile forces, my heart remains confident, balanced, and patient. I seek one thing alone, to connect to this moment. Nowhere else, only this, nothing else. My palace in time. When difficulties arise, I have a hiding place in my own heart, a secret tent where I can go and feel safe, a rock to rest my head. Greed, hatred, and delusion don't stop coming, but when they are met with a spacious heart, they don't stick around, leaving me so grateful I want to sing out loud, "Listen, world, the power of love sets me free." When I turn to face my heart, then everyone and everything is revealed. Let this truth not be hidden from me. If only I could remember always what seems so clear right now. Wisdom would guide my every moment. Awareness and compassion would be a father and mother to me. But I can follow the guidance of those who have walked in this path before, trying to stay alert to the obstacles along the way because delusion and hatred aren't disappearing so fast. Still, I affirm my faith in the power of goodness. May we take courage, may we be strong, may our hearts be so filled with love that there's no room for anything else. May we see the arising and passing of all conditioned things. May we open to the unconditioned, Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh. Okay, let's take a moment of silence. And then we'll open it up for discussion.